A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
97.5 KZNS FM Colville, 1280 KZNS AM Salt Lake City, and KSL FM HD2 Salt Lake City Midvale. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keurig, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us on the program. We appreciate you downloading the podcast wherever podcasts are found. It's free, might as well. You can also go to kslsports.com, click on the podcast button, stream any of the shows all day long, and if you want to do it even more conveniently, get yourself the KSL Sports app that is now now bug-free and better than ever. So if you've been using the old Zone app to stream your KSL Sports Zone during the day for all your shows, convert yourself over to the KSL Sports app to be able to do that in the future. So there you go. Joining us on the program right now, he is Mitch Harper. He is our BYU insider for KSLSports.com, and this is The Cut, so let's jump right in.
There we go. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made The Cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, The Cut brought to you by G2G Bars. All natural ingredients, no preservatives, plenty of protein. G2G Bar is perfect for anybody who needs a quick, tasty, nutritious boost. Mitch Harper, our BYU insider for KSLSports.com. What's up, Mitch?
Hey, guys. Always happy to be on with you.
Yeah, this is a wild week as BYU's getting ready for a closed practice on Saturday. But before we get to all that, it's impossible to be, because I know you're a Raiders honk, all right? At least a recently, I don't know if you've been like for life or what. Did you kind of jump on more when they came to Vegas?
I got into the Raiders around the – I'll admit I kind of got on a little bit of a bandwagon, the Rich Gannon teams in the early 2000s, you know, late 90s. That's kind of when I picked up. But I was young. I mean, that's 20 years ago, It's been a minute.
I'll say that it's born in your childhood. And it's just as inexplicable as your Laker fandoms. But, you know, it's there. So,
You know, Mitch, I was playing in your childhood.
You could have cheered for Scott. How dare you?
I just realized I caught myself when I said that. I was like, Scott's going to be sad at that.
Oh, you know how fragile that ego is.
I was a Rich Gannon fan, actually. Yeah. I liked him, too.
Mitch, we're just
– I almost played by the Raiders. Or I almost played for him in that.
Scott
in that
has
really?
Yeah,
Scott
it came
has
really an, close.
Yeah, but he says that for every team.
No, not every team.
This is the first time I've heard of the Raiders. So,
really? Oh,
yes.
Yeah. I got a great story about that.
But we're trying to figure things out because we were looking up season tickets of what it would be for the New York Jets. And it's actually one of the cheaper season tickets in the league. And
depending on where you sit.
We're talking about nosebleed. If we buy the full season, it's $900 a seat, which is $100 a game. Because they have 9 home games this year. Tell me that's not worth it. We take a JetBlue red eye, we all go out there, and then we fly back again immediately, make it in time for Monday, and we're suddenly Jets season ticket holders. And then we sell the ones we don't want to go to.
I love it. I think that's a great idea. Let's see it happen. We'll see Rodgers in action. We can see Zach on the bench.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
We also want to get like jerseys, and we just want number one and just put sauce.
Just put sauce. We're all going to wear
no sauce gardener, just sauce just on the back of our jerseys.
Yeah, we're trying to become Jets fans overnight. But that is if Jeremy's chatting with a representative right now. Are you really?
Yeah.
What are they saying?
300 level tickets.
Okay.
Trying to find out location, end zone, yard line. 150 per game per ticket.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Mitch is in and we're in. I mean, that would be a really fun thing. You don't go to all the games. You might go to one or two a season. Then you sell the rest.
Maybe we get sponsored by JetBlue.
Oh, this writes itself, man. We've got this thing figured out. A couple of articles, Mitch, that you have up on KSLSports.com that are BYU-related now that we're – is this week three now of spring for BYU already?
Right.
It's it's wild. So, Jay Hill and the quote-unquote complicated defense. I was asking Scott about how – difficult it is to have a changeover of a coaching staff and to reintroduce stuff to guys who were in a totally different system. How different is it compared to what Ituiaki was doing with the Cougs in the last 7 years?
I think it's night and day difference. It's a completely different feel and attitude with this defense. And I think that BYU with the previous staff, I thought they did a solid job. I mean, I think people tend to forget that the five of the first 7 years with the previous staff, they were in the top 50 in scoring defense, and they put together solid defenses. I feel like with this defense, with how aggressive they are with the defensive line, it just instantly, that alone feels night and day different. And I think that this staff, though, feels like it's got the potential to be, eventually, not necessarily this year, because they've got some deficiencies with personnel, but I think, down the road that they could one day be one of the best Big 12 defenses in the league. And, what you saw the previous year is there was no inclination or flash of that. And I think that, Jay Hill's attitude and how aggressive he is in recruiting, that's night and day different. But I think when he does say he's going to be multiple, I don't think that's necessarily coach speak. I mean, their base look is going to be four defensive linemen, but they will have a variety of packages. I think you'll see a lot of five defensive backs this season. And, a guy like Eddie Hecker's going to be used in a variety of ways, whether that's, as a nickel guy, a guy that could be at the cornerback. He could be used in so many different ways for BYU. This defense will be a lot different. I mean, I think Cougar fans will be very excited about what this defense will provide. They're still going to have some games or two, I would imagine, that probably leave you wondering what just happened. But there will be also other games that I think give Cougar fans a lot of excitement about the potential of this defensive staff and what they can do.
Yeah, it's almost like you have to start somewhere. You got to be able to stop something. And usually, when they go to that four down line look, it's more like, we're going to be stout at the line of scrimmage. We're going to make it tough for you to run the ball and make you a little bit more one-dimensional. But they have to start somewhere. And I do believe it's going to be a work in progress because you hear Jay describe all the things he wants to do. And it's like, yeah, that takes time and it takes personnel and to do all that. But when they have the personnel and they can do it, it'll be a great defense because they understand it and they know it, these coaches, and they can teach it and, finding the right fits for it. I'm curious about the new president at BYU, Shane Reese. What do you think his impact's going to be on sports and football at BYU? Because presidents are key. They're very key on how well sports programs
run. Well,
and
maybe speak to what Kevin Worthen did that was, that was so helpful too, because, they're the bosses to the guys who are the bosses to the athletic program. And so I think what kind of an impact does a new president have? What kind of an impact did Kevin Worthen have?
I think Kevin Worthen's impact was a positive one. He was very supportive of sports. He was a former basketball, college basketball athlete. So he was someone that understood the importance of athletics. And I thought that came at a critical time because I think with previous presidents like Merrill J. Bateman and Cecil Samuelson, there was an era at BYU that felt like, is sports a priority? The doomsday scenario from Cougar fans was always, they're going to phase out sports and it's going to become BYU Provo, like BYU Idaho. those days, no one ever talks about that. Sports matter a ton at BYU. I think a big reason for that was Kevin Worthen. So I think he did a great job in navigating difficult times in independence and the West Coast Conference, and still BYU grew the fan base. I think the interest in BYU sports is still at a high level, and they were still making a lot more money than they've ever done. So in that regard, from the athletic side and what Kevin Worthen did, I think that was really good. I think that, you know, Shane Reese, very interesting hire, and I think it kind of represents what BYU needs in the Big 12 era. I think it was a good thing that BYU had a change. You know, it wasn't that they needed to have a new president, but, you know, I saw the Big 12 spring meetings last year, kind of how these presidents operate, and just kind of getting a little bird's eye view of just a glimpse, a peek into the window. And, you know, Worthen was just kind of a, you know, shy guy, you know, not necessarily being a mover and a shaker in the room, kind of observing and probably being the new guy on the block and just wanting to observe and whatnot. But I think that, you know, does this new President Reese, president-elect, does he come in and really try to make BYU, you know, a prominent voice? And I think that that's going to be a fascinating dynamic to me for BYU going forward, because all the leagues that they've ever been in, they helped create the WAC, the Mountain West. They've never been invited to a league that had a quarter century of history in its back pocket, and BYU suddenly joining it. BYU has always been at the forefront of creating the leagues that they've operated in, or in the West Coast Conference case, being kind of the biggest brand, you know, from a school side of things in their league. So this is just a new world for BYU. And I think that, you know, Shane Reese's background with, you know, the racial equality on campus, that project and committee that he was part of, I think that's important, because if you're going to go into this Big 12 and try to recruit at a high level, you have to have more diversity on the rosters. I think football has done a great job with it, along with men's basketball. You have to be able to recruit at a high level. And I'm really curious to see what he does as far as his aggressive nature with maybe spending. You know, BYU sports in the past, I remember when the basketball annex was built, it was already fully funded 2 years in advance before, you know, the operating, the electric costs, all of it, before a shovel hit dirt. Is BYU willing to play the arms race? Are they going to give this president the autonomy to be more aggressive? I mean, Kansas today just announced they're going to have a $40 million renovation on Allen Fieldhouse. I mean, Allen Fieldhouse is historic, but they're still upgrading that thing. I mean, it's just, is BYU going to be giving this new presidency and new individuals the ability to make things like that happen? Will he have the vision to sell to Salt Lake that these things are necessary? That's what I'm really curious on. And I think the fact that he is a BYU sports fan helps that cause. And so I think, you know, on as of right now, it seems like a good hire. And it seems like it'll be a good move for BYU. But, you know, I think how much power does he truly have? I think that's kind of the biggest thing as they go into the Big 12.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mitch, excuse me, as we go into week three here, what's something that maybe you were surprised about or have been surprised about with spring? It seems like there's always somebody who pops up or a little storyline with a player here and there that you go, man, this has been impressive, or maybe somebody that hasn't impressed.
I think that, you know, it's easy to say Keenan Slovis. I mean, I think that he's been really good, and I think that he's been impressive, and I think he has been excellent for BYU thus far, and him and Aaron Roderick are in complete alignment with the goals that they have for this offense to be kind of a high-powered attack. I think it's going to look a little bit more like what we saw with Zach Wilson rather than Jaren Hall. I think there's going to be a lot more work with the tight ends. But maybe an under-radar story would probably be Isaiah Glasker, a linebacker. And he's someone that redshirt freshman, a former wide receiver out of Bingham High School. But you look at that linebacker unit, outside of Max Tooley, Ben Bywater, maybe to a lesser degree, Chaz Ayu, there's no real proven commodities after those first two guys. And you got to round out the depth, and it's a trio of freshmen operating at linebacker that are getting the first-team reps. And Isaiah Glasker is probably one of the more notable ones. I could see a scenario if they line up three linebackers on the field, he could be a starter next to Max Tooley and Ben Bywater. He plays with a lot of violence. I mean, he's a Sam linebacker that could be really good, and he's athletic. He was a rangy receiver in high school, so he's probably one of the more intriguing storylines that I've seen in spring ball emerge, because I kind of looked at him as more of a developmental project guy coming in, but no, I think because of these injuries, he's emerging as someone that could really be a factor, and he's making the most of his opportunities with his reps.
BYU's going to have its first scrimmage this weekend. What is the focus of this scrimmage? What are they trying to get out of it?
I think the focus, again, is to try to find these new faces, like a Glasgow, how they fare in a game-like setting. How do they show? Because I think BYU is still trying to identify who some of the key players are on this team. There's so many new faces, and I think that's going to be something that they look to accomplish coming up on Saturday with that scrimmage. So I think that will be something that will be big. I think the running back position has been an area of real growth. Curious to see how they perform in a scrimmage as well, because that position with Aiden Robbins, the UNLV transfer, going through everything but team portion, he's projected to be the RB1, but then Hinkley Ropati, Miles Davis, they've all looked good. Even some of the lesser-known guys in Luve Hilu and walk-on Enoch Nawahine, they feel like they go five deep at running back, and that's going to be before adding L.J. Martin in the fall. So running back position, I think it'll be another spot I'm kind of curious to see how they evaluate there.
What's the wideout room look like, excuse me, for Aaron Roderick and Fessy Satake? I know that's a group that that have names that we recognize, but I think a lot of guys, obviously, you fall off quite a bit when you have a guy like Puka Nacua who's leaving the room.
I kind of look at it like the 2019 season for BYU wide receiver, and I say that because I think it's going to be primarily, they're going to run with three guys. And those three, and that's what they did that year with guys like Micah Simon back then and Talon Shumway and Aleva Hippo. This year, I think it's going to be Chase Roberts, Cody Epps, and then I think they're going to have Keanu Hill as well. I think those are going to be your top three. They've got to get, I think, a transfer. It's difficult, though, because when you have an established pecking order of three guys already, I mean, that makes it maybe a little bit difficult to, say, get a grad transfer, because they might be looking at it and thinking they might not be the, gift wrapped starter right out of the gate. But if you get an underclassman transfer to come in, that would be something that would serve BYU well. BYU, there's a receiver still in the portal in Gary Bryant Jr. from USC, who BYU was heavily involved with in this high school recruitment, and he was contacted when he entered the portal back in December. I'd be curious to see what ends up happening with someone like him, if they could have any chance of getting him. He played with Keaton Slovis. They were good friends. They had a good connection. That would be the type of guy you want to add to the wide receiver room coming up in the May transfer portal window, or as soon as possible, because he's already been in there since December. So, that would be someone I would look at to potentially try to add and target, because he still hasn't landed anywhere. And it's kind of mysterious as to why he hasn't, because he was a productive player at USC. So that's a name that I've been monitoring for quite some time as far as potential wide receivers. They had a few guys that were grad transfers that they pursued from Eastern Washington, but those guys ended up going up to other, Power Five programs. So they've been active, and I expect Aaron Roderick to continue to be active, once that May transfer portal opens up, and ultimately when spring ball concludes, because I think if they stay status quo, they're not going to have the necessary personnel to navigate an entire Power 5 season.
Speaking of wide receivers, Puka Nacua, what do you know about him and the upcoming draft? Where is he? He seems to be a guy that's, I don't know, I guess I feel like we've kind of lost him on our radar. Where is he?
I think he's a day three guy. And it's, I think all the BYU guys outside of Freeland have seen their stock dip that are, the notable guys, Jaron Hall, Freeland, and Nacua. I think Jaron and Puka through this process have not, seen their stock been elevated. I think that they're going into pro day coming up on Friday, probably as day three guys. Puka, though, I think with wide receiver, that's what hurts him too, as far as maybe slipping a bit, because that's a position where it feels like There's just so many quality receivers that come out every single year, and teams feel like you can find a Puka Nacua in the sixth round, and that's a lot better value when you want to use the first, second, third, fourth rounds on D-line, offensive line, quarterbacks, and whatnot. I think Puka, though, whatever team drafts him, I think he's going to make the most of his opportunity, and he's going to be a difference maker for an NFL team. You hope that it's somewhat high of a pick, draft capital, so it feels like it's got to, you know, he's forced to play right away. But I just think his talent is undeniable. He was showing, you know, great signs at the Senior Bowl that day one. He was looking impressive, but then he was absent due to an injury at practice that week, the last few days. So as long as he's healthy, and I think that's one of the big things with Puka, is that he just doesn't stay healthy throughout his entire college career. He's always had some nicks and bruises and whatnot that have kept him away. And the availability has not always been there for him. But when he is available and he's at his true healthy state, I mean, you look at the Boise State game, that was one of the best performances you've ever seen from a BYU wide receiver. That's the type of impact he can have on a team. And I think his route running is outstanding. Puka will be tremendous value for a team. I think a lot of teams would probably like to see him slide so they can maximize that value with him as a draft pick.
Mitch Harper, he's our BYU insider for KSLSports.com, does the best job in the market at covering the Cougs. And you can download his podcast, Cougar Tracks. You can also listen to Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio every week with he and Matt Biamonte. Mitch, appreciate it, man. Thanks for being with us.
You bet, guys. Take care.
There you go. Future Jets fan, Mitch Harper.
Puka's kind of an enigma to me because most wide receivers don't get hurt. They really don't. I mean, there's a lot of wide receivers just never get hurt, and he just seemed to always be hurt. So
yeah,
frustrating.
I don't know. I don't know what the numbers are on that because I've never thought to myself, never gets hurt is the wide receiver.
Yeah, think about in the NFL.
But is it just because they don't have a lot of plays kind of
They're wimpy guys. They just stay away from contact.
Well, and they just don't have the ball DBs coming toward them that often.
Yeah, I mean.
Comparatively.
Right. I don't know.
Remember when Scott accused the wide receivers of being giant babies? That was on this show. That was less than 10 seconds ago.
Who?
You. Accused wide receivers of being giant babies.
I'm not
wimpy
saying.
Wimpy guys. Was that the quote? Wimpy guys.
I'm just saying no. They're guys that just aren't going to go mix it up inside, so their probability of getting hurt pretty low.
That's wild.
I mean, if you want to see something funny, watch a wide receiver and a defensive back try to block each other. It's funny.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot like what's his name? Ezekiel Elliott when he was a center, when he played center for that one snap for the Cowboys this year.
Right.
He held his own, man.
Yeah, he did.
He held his own jockstrap in his hand after the plays.
He got run over.
All right.
Maybe that's why he got cut. We tried to play at center.
We were looking at you for that second position.
The more you can do in this league, and if you can't do it, we're going to have to cut you.
We wanted you to be kind of a certain Taysom Hill going forward, just multiple positions. Maybe play center on various packages that we have. All right. We'll come back. When we do, let's talk about this Jazz team and this Trailblazers team that they're taking on tonight. Interesting right now, we'll kind of map out a little bit of what it looks like for the rest of the season for this Jazz team and also where the West stands. So stay right here, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.